Song. Every work we do for Jesus will be blessed. And, you know, we need to give him our best. Amen? Amen. You know, sometimes we can work and serve the Lord for many years, and then we think we can let off and rest. But that's not what the Lord wants for us as Christians. We're not to rest from serving the Lord until he comes for us. And I'm thankful that Brother Stewart is one of those that, even though he's retired from pastoring, he's still serving Jesus. Amen. He still loves his Lord. Brother Wes and Donna Stewart, I'm thankful to have them with us, and they're members of Central Baptist Church and Amarillo with Pastor Chadwick. They're serving faithfully there. He was called to preach in 1976. He told me February 1st, 1976, here in Dumas, Texas, Faith Baptist Church. And so he used to live here in Dumas, so he is not only one of us in Christ, but he is one of us Dumas residents at one time. And he served at Temple Baptist Church in Tucumcari, where he retired just a couple years ago, for 29 years as pastor. And I'm so thankful for his ministry there. When I was a pastor in Dalhart, he was a friend to me. And I'm thankful for that. And from time to time, we would go to Tucumcari for meetings there and enjoyed the fellowship. And we had some family members, extended family members from his church that were members of our church in Dalhart. And so we had that connection. And I've always respected Brother Stewart and his love for the Lord and his stand for the Word of God and his faithfulness. And Tucumcari is not an easy town to serve in, but he was there 29 years serving the Lord. And while he was serving there, he lost his first wife. She passed away, and Donna had lost her husband, and they were married, and they've been serving the Lord faithfully since. And he's been 37 years in full-time ministry, and so he's been faithful, and he's still serving the Lord, and still giving his best for Jesus. And so I've invited him to come and just be an encouragement to us as we look forward. I mean, our work's not done yet. I mean, we can celebrate the past 71 years, but it's not done. We've still got lots to do until Jesus comes. And so I want you to welcome Brother Wes Stewart. He come and preach for us.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Love you, brother. It's on. I was sitting there, I was thinking of 71 years. I'm thinking about these young people over here. They think, that's a long time. I was born 1 year after this church was started. Yes, it is a long time. what an honor. Very humbling to be able to, I can do that, can I? Be able to spend this wonderful, special day with you dear folks at Bible Baptist Church. Thank you so much, Pastor, for the invitation. I appreciate your friendship over the years. You know, stop and you look back, and God brings across your path different people through the years, and you and your family and Stacy, and we just appreciate y'all so much. We've been praying for you, not only you, but your church family, and the loss of your daughter here recently, and sometimes the heartaches of this world are hard, and yet, as your pastor has just mentioned to us, God is faithful. And so, I just thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk and appreciate that, and I appreciate your prayers. And my dear wife, God has been so good to me, and had a, you know, not many men have one good wife. I say that because of the experience that I've pastored for a number of years, and so I know a lot of men don't even have one good wife. I've been blessed to have two, and so Donna and I have been blessed. We've been married 16 years, 1 month, and 14 days, and but we our verse. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And God has surely done that. And so thank you again for the opportunity to be here. If you'd take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Just want to use this to kind of get us into that. How many of you were living in Dumas in the mid-70s? Okay. How many of you were a member of Bible Baptist Church in the mid-70s? Okay. Pastor Chadwick pastored the Faith Baptist Church here, and I, long story how I got here, but I remember the day I was driving into town, moving in here. I was born and raised in western Kansas, fly, dry, and dirty and windy. And I said when I left western Kansas, I would never, ever live any place like western Kansas. I was driving into Dumas, Texas, and I looked and I said, I'm driving into a dry, flat, windy, dry, dirty place. And but it was where God wanted me, and God did a lot of great things in the work here, and so we had a lot of good memories here. I remember going to Bible Baptist for special meetings. Brother Jerry Clark was pastoring there, so several times we were there, fellowshiped, knew some of the people there back at the time. Faith Baptist closed, but some of you might remember R.L. and Nixie Robertson. They were a member of our church, and then they went over to Bible Baptist, dear friends of mine. And then, goodness, their names just slipped my mind, a younger couple, Tommy and Gail Brewer. Tommy and Gail Brewer. So some of you knew them. And by the way, if anybody has their address and phone number, I'd like to get that. I haven't been in touch with them for so long. I knew they moved somewhere south, but if you have their phone number or address, I'd sure like to have that before I leave, if you think about that. Let's take your Bibles there in 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. I just want to, and it's hard to know exactly what do you preach on an anniversary like this, but I hope this will be an encouragement to you. I'm going to focus in on one particular area here in just a few moments, but I'll begin with verse number 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think we're there. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the ministry, work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You bow with me, bow in prayer, and pray with me and for me, if you would, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for what you've done over these 71 years here at Bible Baptist Church in Dumas, Texas. Thank you for the faithfulness of thy people, some of them here for many, many years. Lord, thank you for them. They are the backbone of this church. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide and direct and bless them. Help the pastor, give him great wisdom as he oversees the ministry here. But Lord, may they just enjoy your presence from this day forward until you come and take us home. Lord, we ask for your help this morning. Ask that you'd give me clarity of thought, liberty of speech. And Lord, you know my heart. I just simply want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. I want to be an encouragement. So God, if you would please use me and use your word, and may your word go forth with power that it might get into our hearts, and that God, it might bring forth that which you desire. And we'll thank you and give you praise for it. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Paul was writing his preacher boy, Timothy. Paul was now in prison. And it's not long before he's going to be leaving this earth and going to be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But as he writes Timothy, and he says, and I just want to look at verse number 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And then he says, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Now, I think I've guarded the faith. And that faith is the doctrines, that which the Lord had instructed him to embrace, to hold, to preach, to teach. He's been guarding that faithfully all of his ministry since Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. You know, I was thinking about Paul, what a wonderful example he is to all of us here by way of the Scriptures. Then we look through the Scriptures, and God gives us examples of many in the Bible that they started out and they faltered and they got back and all kinds of problems they had. But as you look at Paul's life, you don't really see him faltering. He just was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen? Just went forward. And that's what God expects of us today, to just move forward. Praise God for 71 years. Amen? God has been good. God has blessed you. And God has used you. And like the pastor said a few moments ago, your reach has gone beyond the city limits of this town. It's gone around the world by way of missionaries and others, men who have gone out from this church, started other churches, pastored other churches, ministries of all kinds through these seven. Praise God for that. It's a great work that God has done. But we're not finished. This is not the end. I have no idea how much longer that God may leave us on this earth. I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller or anything. I don't know the future. But it sure, as I look at things today, it sure looks like it may not be long before the Lord comes. Amen. And I say with the Apostle John, even so come Lord Jesus. Amen. But Paul, all those years of his saved life, he kept the faith. Amen. He guarded what the Lord had given him. We are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure to have a copy of God's holy word. Amen. This is the preserved, inerrant word of God in our hands. We are so blessed. There's so many. I remember one of our missionaries years ago was telling the story of the wife of the missionary. And they were Nepal. They were in Nepal. And she was at a store checking out, buying some groceries or something, I don't know. But anyway, she opened her purse and was getting the money out, probably to pay for. And the clerk, a young lady, was standing there. And she said, is that a Bible? And she said, yes, it is. She said, could I hold it? She said, sure. She gave her the Bible, and she just held it like that. She said, this is the word of God. And she just embraced that. And that dear missionary lady says, you keep it. Amen. She said, with tears right now, she said, oh no, I couldn't do that. She said, yes, you keep it. And she just wept as she held that Bible. We take so much for granted. If you're like me, I've got a number of Bibles. I only need one, but I've got a whole bunch of them. But God has been good to give us in America the Word of God so freely. And we still have the privilege of standing in pulpits like this and preaching with freedom. We're not threatened by our government yet. God has been good to us. But we're not to the end yet. Paul had come to the end. I've kept the faith. He was finished. One day we'll say, I finished my course. I pastored for 29 years, full-time ministry, 37 years. By the way, I didn't get started until I was over 30. I was 31, 32 years. So that makes me a little older. But now somebody said, well, why didn't you stay until it was 30 years? I said, I'm putting another notch on your gun or something. And but God was good. And God said, it's time. And so, but we're so glad that God's keeping us busy in the ministry. But I want you to think about Paul's life was faithful. All of that. I don't know about you. I would assume that you're probably like me. You want to come to the end of that life that God's given you, and you want to stand before Him, and you want to hear those words, don't you? What are they? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that what you want to hear? And that's what I want to hear. Oh, that God, I don't know that I will. I hope that I do. But we want to be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, I may not be the brightest kid on the block. I may not be the greatest preacher. I may not be, but I can be faithful. And God blesses faithfulness, and you are faithful. Thank you for being in your place this morning. You encourage your pastor. Trust me, I know. Just your presence here is an encouragement to your pastor. And thank you, Pastor, for your years of service. Dalhart, I knew you there, and you went to Africa, and then God called you back here. And thank you for your faithfulness. Having said that, turn over with me to the book of Peter, 1 Peter. And for the sake of time, I just want to look at one verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. Think about this. And he said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He says, the trial of your faith. I was out soul winning with one of our young men in the church about a year ago, not quite a year ago, I think it was. We were knocking on doors. Came to the door, and a young man, probably in his mid to late 30s, and had good conversation, and he was a saved man, and he went to, I don't remember now what church it was, but we had pleasant conversation. We talked back and forth about different things and such, and then there was a pause there, and he looked at me, and he said, how's your faith? I was really kind of, what kind of a question is that? That's what I'm thinking, you know. I've never been asked that before. How is your faith? And I gave him an answer. I'm not even sure what I said now. And I walked away, and I spoke to the young man that was with me, and I said, that's kind of a strange question, wasn't it? He said, yeah. But you know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, oh, that's actually a pretty good question. You have to think about it a little bit. But how is your faith? I want to ask you this morning, how is your faith? How is your faith? You see, Peter's writing here, and he said that the trial of your faith, the trial of your faith. Has the old devil been working on you? Has he been causing problems in your life? Teenagers, has he been ruffling your feathers along the way somewhere this week? If you're like most of us, you'd say yes. He doesn't leave us alone for very long, does he? What is he trying to do? What's the devil trying to do? I mean, really, when you stop to think, well, sure, if you're not saved, he wants to keep you from getting saved. Amen? Now, I don't know your heart here this morning. This is the first time I've met most any of you, I guess, other than the Widener family. But there may be somebody here without Christ. You do not know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Your most important decision to make is to come to Christ and be saved. Amen. Christ paid the price. Amen. He bore our sins on Calvary. He shed his blood. He died in our place. He suffered our hell for us. Amen, he was buried and rose again the third day. Amen. All that so that you and I could be saved and become a child of God and spend an eternity in heaven with Jesus. So I don't know, there may be somebody here this morning, you haven't got that settled. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You need to take the faith that God gives you from his word and put it in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Receive him as your Savior today. Amen. I'm sure at the invitation this morning that the pastor will invite you, if you're not saved, to come and receive Christ as your Savior. Amen. So I trust you. I beg of you. I plead with you. Make that decision before it's too late. Amen. But if you're saved, you've already put your faith in Christ. Amen. But now we are to live by faith. Now we are to walk by faith. So I'm asking, what is the devil trying to do, what to do in your life? I mean, there's a multitude of things, but I propose to you that he's trying to do this one thing. He's trying to destroy your faith. How will he do that? With all kinds of trouble. All kinds of tribulation. You see, you've come this far, 71 years, but it hasn't been without trials and tribulation. And whatever time God remains before he takes us home is going to be trials and tribulation. Amen. Peter writes, he said, the trial of your faith. The trial. Of your faith. Your faith. Your faith. Young people. Your faith. Middle-aged folks. Your faith. Senior saints. Your faith. Is being tried today. Amen. Our faith. Being tested. Being put to the test. And so it says the trial of your faith. Well, what does he say about that faith? The trial of your faith being much more precious. What's the word precious mean? Valuable. It's valuable to God. Much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But 11:30. 11, okay, just want to make sure I stay on track here. In this little letter of Peter's, we find the word suffer, or some form of the word suffer, 17 times. That's a lot of use for the same word. And it brings into focus that people there were suffering. So their faith was being tried. Have you ever thought about this? I've always wanted to just, and maybe the Lord somehow will do this when we get to heaven. I don't know. You know, we've got videos. We got the computers, and we can see images and videos, the camera from around the world. And I thought, you know, if we can do all that, surely God can do something better than that. And I've always wanted to see some of the things we read about in the Bible. Moses, as he stood there on the shores of the Red Sea, and God parted the waters, and they walked over on dry ground. I'd like to see that. Would you? I don't know if he'll take us back there, because, you know, God lives in no time. We live in time. We're confined to a time. But God lives in no time. And so I don't know if he'll just take us back there and we'll be standing there beside Moses and seeing, wow, there's the water. You know, I want to see some things. I want to see it all come to life. Wouldn't it be something if we could do that and go back in time? I'd like to invite you to do something with me. We've got a time machine. I know that we really don't have one, but we're imaginary this morning. I want you to do something with me. We're going to get in a time machine. And we're going to go back in time. So we get in our time machine, we shut the door and turn on the knobs and we get the motor started and all that stuff. And we go and we set the date and we go back in time. And that time machine finally settles down and the engine slows down and the green light comes on and we can step out. And we step out. And as we step out, we see this massive crowd of people here. It's just, and it's just not a celebration. It's a kind of a grieving. I mean, they're crying and they're wailing. And I said, what? You know, we look and we say, what's going on? What's happening? And we walk a little closer. We see some people, and we look down. We say, "Oh my goodness! There's a casket. There's another casket, and another, and another, and another, and another. There's 10 caskets. Oh no! Is this the funeral of Job's children?" And we look around. And we look over and maybe we say, that must be Job and his wife. This is the funeral of his children. That they lost all 10 of their children in one day. I can't relate to that. Maybe we go up to Job. We look at Job and we say, Job, how's your faith? How's your faith? And Job's reply would come from Job chapter 1 and verse 21. When he says, and naked came I out of my mother's womb. And naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. That's great faith. I can't imagine what it's like. I don't want to imagine. What it's like to carry a child for 9 months. You think about it. Job's wife had been pregnant for 90 months. She bore each one of those children in childbirth. I can't imagine the bond that your mother would have with a child because of that. But she lost them all in one day. Can't imagine the heartache and the grief and the distraught. I can't imagine. I don't blame her for this, but she was grieving. And she said unto Job, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we not receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" Wow, Job, how's your faith? Huh. Looks to me like it's pretty strong. Then comes his three friends. All the unnecessary things that they said to Job over that time period. And he responds to those men and says in Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." You see, I wish I had that kind of faith. But Job had that kind of faith. It was in the right place in the Lord, and it was unmovable. We think about, well, let's just go back. Let's go back and get in our time machine again. And let's set the date and let's move a little ways and go forward for a while. We come and we settle down and we get out and we look again. Here's quite a large crowd of people. And we think, well, what's going on? It seems a lot of ruckus here in this one. There's a lot of excitement going on. Something's happening. And we look over in the distance and there's somebody there. It seems like it's somebody with great authority. And he doesn't look very happy. And he's raising his voice. He's kind of losing his temper. And I don't know what's going on. But we kind of walk a little closer there. And he's got some young men in front of him there. And he's just berating them. And boy, he's just kind of losing his cool. You know, who is this? And we look and say, wait a minute. Are those three young men, is that by way of their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Is this the king that's threatening them if they don't bow down and worship the image that he has created, that he's going to throw them into that fiery furnace? We might see them that day and we stand before them and say, "Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how's your faith?" And we hear them say to the king, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Wow. I'd say they had pretty good faith. They were unmovable. They did not bow, they did not bend, and they surely did not burn. They were cast into that fiery furnace the king had heated up. He said, "Heat up the furnace seven times harder. You know, throw them in there." And they threw them in there. And the king thought, got them. I showed them. But then a moment later, he looked in the fiery furnace and he began to see something inside. He saw four men walking around in the fire. I always loved this part. He said to the men, he said, "Didn't we throw three men in there?" "Yes, sir, O king." He said, "I see four in there, and one of them looks like the Son of God." Wow. "Come on out of there, you guys." And out come Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And not a hair burned on their body, on their head, their hands, their arms, their legs. Not a smell of smoke. Not a blister on their skin. They were protected. And the Lord was with them in the fire. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold which perisheth. We get in our time machine, we travel a little bit further forward and back into the New Testament times. And we settle it down and we get out and we see something horrendous going on. Here's a young man in a circle of men and they're stoning him. And he's dying. And we look and say, why are they doing this? And we stop and we gaze and we think and we look and we, is this Stephen? One of the first deacons? A preacher? Who had preached a great sermon, but the Pharisees didn't like what they heard. And they got angry and they began to get everybody together and throw stones at them and kill them. And we look at Stephen, we say, Stephen, how is your faith? And Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Right up to that moment of death, he continued to keep his eyes on the Lord and trust the Lord. Hey, the trial of your faith. If you're going to have faith, the devil's going to fight it. He's going to try to destroy it. The Lord is going to allow sometimes us to have those trials of faith. To have our faith be tried. He's going to test our faith. We say, oh, I believe in God. Okay, if you do, it's going to be tested. It's been tested. It's going to be tested. We haven't arrived. Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've stayed by the stuff. I've been faithful. I've believed God. I've trusted God. I've not given up. I've not gone back. Amen. That's what God expects of you and I. Amen. Praise God for what He's done in the past. But let's go forward. Amen. Paul said, I press toward the mark. Let's keep our eye looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He knows the way. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. You ever played follow the leader when you were a kid? Following was real easy. The leading might have been hard, but following was easy. You just do what the leader did. We're supposed to follow Jesus. He's our example. We just trust Him. Put our faith in Him. He knows. He knows what the future holds. You say, well, why does He let some things happen? He's trying our faith. The trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold which perisheth. God values a person's faith. He said, that's what I... Hebrews 11:6. You want to please the Lord? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You cannot please God without faith. those trials that come your way? What do? Trust God. Trust God. Talked about in the Sunday school hour this morning how you have tribulation, develop patience, have an experience, and have hope. Your faith will increase as you go through trials, as you trust the Lord. You see what God has done and what God can do. How many of you here ever had the privilege of hearing Lester Roloff? All right, few. Heard him a few times. Became one of my favorite preachers real quick. Amen. He would a lot of times travel with some of the girls from his home. And he was unique in a lot of ways. But he'd be preaching. He'd come to a point there and he'd back off and he'd say, "Sing it, girls." And they'd go up and they'd sing a song. And then they'd finish and he'd come back and he'd keep on preaching. And sometimes he'd back off and he'd just start singing himself. And one of the songs that I always remember him singing, "I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. My Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarms." Amen. That's what God wants of us. 71 years, praise the Lord. But let's go forward. Amen. And let's trust God. Yes, and let's live by faith. I ask you this morning, how's your faith? How's your faith? Teenagers, how's your faith? Are you trusting God in your life? Paul writes the church at Rome, and he said, and I'm trying to quote here, but it said, "Your faith, your faith has been seen by the world, the known world at that time. Your faith has been." How do you see faith? How do you see faith? Faith is lived out in your life. As you obey, obedience and faith are two sides of the same coin. You can't really take one without the other. Say, I believe God. Well, then why not live like you believe God? And when you do live like you believe God, you do put your faith in the Lord, others will see it. They'll see your life. They'll see you walking by faith. They'll see you trusting the Lord, especially in those valleys. This city of Dumas, you're trying to reach Dumas for Christ. I don't know how it all fits, but somehow losing a daughter fits in that picture. And that's a valley. That's a deep valley. But your pastor and you are an example of trusting God and moving on through the journey. And they are watching. And not only those in Dumas, but there are those beyond the city limits of this town. I know my heart's been challenged by their faith. Trusting God. When trials come, the trial of your faith, when trials come, what are we supposed to do? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. The trial of your faith. I ask, how's your faith? Do you need faith for salvation today? You come this morning during the invitation. There'll be somebody to take the Word of God and show you from the Bible how you can be sure that heaven can be your home. And if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary, dying for your sin, being buried and rose again the third day, you believe on Him, you can be saved today. But if you're saved, you're a child of God. Are you walking by faith? Are you living by faith? We talk about faith a lot. We say, I believe God, but are you living by faith? How is your faith? Will you come to the end of your journey just like Paul did and say, I've kept the faith? Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for these dear people. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray you'd bless the work here at Dumas Bible Baptist Church. I pray that the gospel would continue to go forth, that souls would continue to be saved, lives would continue to be changed. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just keep your hand upon this ministry and upon these people. And I pray, God, that you would help us, that we might live by faith, and that during our life and our time on this earth, that, Lord, as our faith is tried, that you might receive all the praise and glory. I pray that you'd bless your people. If there's somebody here today not saved, God, help them to come to you and be saved in faith today. Bless the invitation. Pastor.